Lee Carsley has been named, although I'm not sure.
He's not coming now, is he?
Well, that's the thing. Or Big Sam is the other one.
It's always Big Sam, isn't it?
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
It's hard to believe that's episode 18 of the Football Pod. It's really absolutely flown this season. That was Paddy Andrews and Andy Moran, obviously with Tommy Rooney, who's going to join me now. And the Football Pod's available exclusively right now on the OTB Sports app. Later today, you'll be able to get the Football Pod everywhere else. And make sure to listen before Saturday's All-Ireland final. But obviously with Anthony Moyles and Tommy Rooney here, we're going to talk about Meath. And lads, I was just looking up Twitter on Sunday, Barry Geraghty, David Jennings from the racing family over at Croke Park with their family, everyone cheering, and I don't know, 600,000 odd people watching on TV. I wasn't the lads, you know, maybe back in the glory days, but you must have gotten a great kick out of what the ladies did, particularly coming from the background that they have. They're massive underdogs as well to beat the Dubs.
Moisey, I think that's on you to jump in there.
Yeah. This is basically a royal love-in for the next 10 minutes. We're barely going to mention Tyrone or Mayo, Miles.
We're not going near it.
That's okay. Jesus, if I'd known that, I would have prepared. I would have been decked out. I went in actually with my... I've two girls, a 4 and a 6-year-old, and it was my first experience being in Croke Park with them. So I got over the fact that we had about 400,000 questions already by the time we were actually sitting in the seats. And the line of questioning continued to, who are we supporting again? Which colour is that? Why did she do that? Why are you clapping? So, and it was an experience, but the hot dogs kind of calmed that down a little bit. It was fantastic, I have to say. It actually, it was a little bit emotional at the end because I think it showed just how starved Meath people are for... you know, success and something to cheer about. And
exactly what I was thinking, actually, looking at those pictures.
Yeah, well, listening to what you lads were chatting about, obviously, about the soccer and, you know, everything else. It's, you know, I think Irish people, by their nature, I suppose, there is a little thing of, if we're being dealt a bad hand, we'll just take it. And, you know, we'll kind of try to find a little bit of kind of gallows humour in it a little bit, but then obviously when something comes along that actually really makes us stand up and appreciate it and kind of go out of ourselves, I suppose, and maybe get a little bit cocky and stick our chest out a bit, you know, it can be quite emotional. And I think, you know, that's it's been a long time for Meath people, and obviously the last couple of weeks has been a great success with the minor teams as well. So, no, it was really, really, really excellent. I think obviously the fact that they were given no chance at all, and Dublin were red hot favourites. You know, and I was trying to think about it. I'm quite contrarian sometimes, and I was trying to think prior to the game, you know, are there pockets and are there kind of areas that they can really try to exploit Dublin? And to be honest with you, I didn't really see it coming, the win, not in the manner that they did, because they essentially controlled the game. They kind of did what Tyrone did to Kerry, you know, the previous week, in that they protected the D, and they just, you know, managed to kind of turn over Dublin at vital times. And they got some excellent scores. They have a lot of really, really good young kind of energetic players, and they've got lots and lots of bags full of skill. And it's an amazing story, Johnny, you know, to think that the fact that they were trying so hard to get out of intermediate, you know, and eventually they got out last year, and then to straight away go and win the senior. I suppose the fact is there could be lessons there, and I think there's a lot of lessons in the female game for the men's game. You know, and one of them is that fact that, you know, when you're trying to get out of a division, be it junior or intermediate, it's always quite difficult because someone is obviously coming down, and that team coming down, they may have just had a bad year for one reason or another. It could be that some girls went off to play, you know, in Australia. It might be that some girls took time off for career or whatever it is. So you're always pitching against those two or three top teams, and Meath found that in the last number of years. But when they eventually broke through, you know, they were rightly set to have a really good run at that senior championship. And there's a lot to be said for it. You know, we talk about Jesus, championship structures every year, second tier, third tier, will you do a be all Ireland? And I think there's loads to be said for that. And I think that the ladies game just bears that out.
Absolutely. And Tommy, there's something special as well. Like I still get goosebumps thinking back to watching back when Galway won the All-Ireland, beat Waterford, and Marty Morrissey's the ball is about to be the final sideline puck of the game, and Marty Morrissey says, is the wait over? It's over, and the place goes mad. And you could sense that in me, just this starved kind of, you know, starved of success, and this outpouring of emotion and relief at the final whistle. But imagine if Mayo beat Tyrone.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think what Anthony is saying there about the pride, I suppose, being back and being able to stick the chest out. Like, there has been a bit of energy in Meath sport, would say, over the last couple of weeks. You had the two minor wins, and we were talking a bit about that. And then, as Anthony, like, the story of that Meath women's team is just unbelievable. And I just think it can't be underestimated as well, Anthony. They played in Croke Park in December, and they won that Intermediate All-Ireland. They won Division 2. That momentum of the last couple of months was powerful, and it carried them through. Johnny, you're spot on. If either of the teams win at the weekend, it's going to be a great story. And it's so hard to call it, I think, because there is no clear favourite. It's so difficult to call it this weekend. It's like, how can you call between them? Like nobody's been preparing for this. We were getting ready for a Dublin-Kerry final all year long. It's all anyone was talking about. It's all anyone expected, that maybe Kerry would be the ones that would be good enough to take down Dublin this year. Mayo did that job, and Kerry fell short again against Tyrone. So, it's fascinating this weekend.
It is, and you could just, like, Kevin McStay has had some absolutely superb articles in the Irish Times over the last month or so. But I'm reading, like, I only go to the headline yesterday, and he's tipping Mayo to win, and you're just like, how can he even return to these county? Because if they don't win now, it'll be like, sure, Kevin McStay tipped us in Tuesday, sure, he was writing us the script for us to lose, like. But, you know, they really should win, should they not? The young legs that they have, pound for pound, probably better footballers than Tyrone, or is this another trap to be set by this brilliantly, I suppose, resolute team from the north?
I'll let Anthony jump in here in a second, but I don't know if that's correct. I think it's very, very close. I think that Tyrone were perfectly set to ambush Kerry, the type of players that they had. But I actually think that the profile of the players between the two counties are very similar. We can't forget that Tyrone played an All-Ireland final in 2018, and I think 11 of the starting team that bet Kerry played that day against Dublin, so they have that experience in the bag. Obviously, Mayo got to an All-Ireland final last year with a very young team, but there's been huge transition in both camps, whether it be the new management coming in Tyrone or James Horan dealing with 7 or 8 very key players moving on and 7 or 8 younger players coming through over the last wee while. I want to get Anthony's take on this. Are you strongly feeling either way, Anthony, about where you think this is going to go? Because I'm finding it very difficult to call it at this stage.
I'm not, Tommy. I flip every couple of hours, to be honest with you. I'm Tyrone one minute and Mayo the next. And I think it's for a number of reasons. You know, the bookies very rarely get it wrong. And I think it just shows how difficult it's going to be by the pricing of this. The way I look at it is, I think you're right in the sense of the Tyrone ambushing Kerry. Now, it has to be said, Kerry were, you know, one ball away from bringing that game right to the death and going into penalties and all that rest of the stuff. And I think Kerry only found in that period of extra time the balance that they should have had, certainly around the middle with O'Connor coming in. They needed a much more mobile midfield to really go at Tyrone. They also they had to stop bringing the ball straight into the channel and being turned over. And instead of doing that, they had to go in and drive at that channel and then actually flick the ball out. Or, in actually a matter of fact, something that Dublin always did against this Tyrone team, which is just unbelievably keep the width on the pitch. Like, if you remember the Dublin teams that would have set up against Tyrone over the last number of years, certainly in the final, they literally would have the men right out in the sideline. So the idea was they were dragging that. They were saying to Tyrone, listen, if you're going to protect that D, you're only going to do it with one or two players. And by the time you get people back, we'll have already been ahead of you. So Mayo will not fall into that same trap as Kerry did. I spoke to you guys about this after the match. The naivety of Kerry was alarming. And especially the fact that they didn't change things. So Mayo will not do that. But at the flip side of that, Mayo had only 5 points on the board after 52 minutes against Dublin. Mm. So you're kind of going, well, where are they going to get the scores from here? Now, I flip again and go, people are jumping all over Aidan O'Shea. Aidan really should have had 3 points in that first half, and he could have easily had more racked up. Yeah, exactly. So I think Aidan did a lot of good things. I think he was trying way too hard. And I think he, as a man, needs, you know, I think he needs that bit of a motivation where he's kind of going up against a lot of people. He's had that plenty in his career. The fella, to be fair, you know, who has been an absolute warrior for Mayo, but he has as many detractors as he has fans, and he seems to have more detractors. Well, maybe he has them within the county.
But will he definitely start, Andy?
Well, I would
start him 100%. I
think there are questions about whether or not he'll be starting. I think they're actually coming from inside the county too. Like, I think actually people are misconstruing that substitution the last day with Mayo's change of style, where in truth, after Henley kicks that point when O'Shea comes off, they don't get their seventh score until the 63rd minute when Dublin's legs start going. So I'll let you jump in now and explain why you think O'Shea's going to start. I agree with you. I think he could have a massive influence at the weekend.
Well, I think he does, because first of all, he's playing with a relatively young forward line around him. You know, so Conroy is the young lad. They've sprinkled that. You know, they've lost Killian O'Connor, obviously, who would have been a fella. He was a totem pole. He was well able to take abuse from fullbacks, but he was also well able to take his scores, and he was well able to win a ball. They don't have that necessarily now. And Tyrone have, with Hamsey, they have a number of tough, teak, strong, physical fullbacks who will be looking to give it plenty, and who will want to keep it tight and have a tight area in and around, as I said, that D and that goal. So for me, O'Shea has to start in there, because he will drag and he'll attract that abuse and he'll attract that physicality, and he'll be well able for it.
But is he not going to get completely smothered out of it? Given how good their attacking is and how immobile he looked against Dublin when he had the ball in hand, is he not going to get completely smothered out of it if and when he does get on the ball?
Well, the thing about it is that's if you want to give him the ball or not. You know, so you could essentially use him as a foil. You could essentially use him as a player who's in there and he's occupying one or two men. Because, like, if I was coming up against him as a manager, you're thinking, you know what, do I really want him one-on-one with a defender in there? No matter how big my defender is, do I want him one-on-one standing in around the edge of the square and the rest of the forwards 30, 40 yards from him and balls being pinged into him? Now, Mayo didn't do it great the last day, but they've had a lot of time to prepare over the last number of weeks to try and see, can they improve that? I still think he got enough ball against Dublin. He just didn't do the right things with it. His decision making was off. And whatever way, was that pressure? Was that him trying to, you know, really push himself? I don't know what it was. But if I was him, I would be trying to, as I say, occupy some defenders. And if I got ball, I'd be just looking for marks. And if I didn't get marks, I would be looking just to flick balls left and right or tap them down. Because it does give Mayo that something different, which Tyrone have when they bring McShane in, which is that focal point, you know. And I think this game, Johnny, it could be a war of attrition for the first 45, 50 minutes, which I think could be both teams set up and say, listen, let's see what you have there. You know, bring it on to us. We're going to look to counterattack you, because Mayo have an unbelievably disciplined and an unbelievably aggressive defence that look to turn you over all over the pitch. And they also have a bunch of forwards that love hard work. Like, the one thing the Tyrone boys, if you remember, I think Tyrone had the fullback line of Tyrone each scored a point
in the first half.
Yeah, so they were let go. You know, Clifford let, you know, for all of the Kerry prowess going forward, they didn't do their work going the other way.
Well,
Tyrone recognised this, you know, and they kick points. Mayo won't do that.
Yeah, just on what I found fascinating about the Tyrone as their kick-out strategy, obviously, in effect that obviously their own kick-outs, but also the fact that they more or less threw the modern football rule book out the window and sort of let Kerry have possession, and they were like kind of happy to defend sort of deep. So surely there's going to be some kind of left field strategy from either team to counter the narrative of what's expected in the final, because they're two exceptionally well coached teams. So Tyrone will probably change something up. Do you see that, like, the kickouts Mayo are so good against Dublin, that's surely going to have a massive influence on the game?
Yeah, they don't. The Mayo midfield is, as I referenced earlier on, it's a very, very mobile midfield.
Which Kerry's isn't.
Correct. Mm. And Kerry have a bit more of size and a bit more of the traditional kind of midfielder who's going to be well able to go up. And they use David Moran basically as a focal point. He stays relatively central. And what they try to do is they try to then basically allow him to be to actually go and attack the ball as it's floating in the air. The Tyrone, and we discussed this, Tommy, the Tyrone idea was obviously, well, listen, lads, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose at 60 yards from goal. We're not going to lose at 25 or 30 yards from goal, especially with this forward line that could interlink play and next thing it's in the back of the net. So I think Tyrone took a kind of a calculated decision of, well, even if we lose it there, we'll defend ourselves and we'll be set. I can't see them changing too much on that. But I think they will think themselves that they'll get a bit more joy from those long kickouts. But the Mayo press and the Mayo forward press is exceptional. And they really hunt you down. They hunt you down. They corral you down into areas where you don't want to be. And I think a key thing for Tyrone of their defensive structure is Petey Hart. I think he's vital. Mm. I think he goes about his business relatively kind of in the quiet. But when you actually analyze him and you go back on the tape, you're kind of saying to yourself, Jesus, that lad, he started most attacks. He got on a number of attacks and he laid the ball off the forwards. He's a focal point and he's absolutely vital for them. If I was Mayo, I wouldn't allow him to do that. I would actually say to someone, listen, you're being deployed. You're going to actually mark him. Whether he's the defence or not, I'd say you're actually going to mark him. You're going to take him out of the game. Much the same as what, obviously, Tyrone did with Paddy Clifford. I think you have to go, it's the old Bill Belichick thing, you have to go after the strengths of the other team. And Hart, for me, is one of those massive strengths for Tyrone. And I think he's a really, choose the pun, but he's the beating heart of that team. You know, he really is.
Who would you put in the Anthony?
Oh, I haven't quite worked on that. It's like part of me would love to kind of see, say, the likes of Keegan on him, you know, or even Durkin. But then, you know, do you sacrifice a halfback to come up? The reason on my thinking with Durkin is because if he's in the forward line, he's well able to take a score. You don't just want a defender on him who's going to run around after him. You need someone on him that's actually going to pose him questions. And he has to get that fear of, well, if someone turns me over here, that actually he's going to score. So if you remember the old duels that you had with Connolly and Keegan, the two of them would end up with nearly 3 points each, you know, because they were both well able to kick scores, obviously, but they were both able to defend and attack and da-da-da. So it's a similar, it's not exactly similar because you obviously Petey plays most of his game in that kind of defensive area. But if you look at him, the reason I'm saying he's so important is he literally is, he's the stitch in the middle of that defence. And Tyrone, over the last number of years, they've leaked goals right down the middle of the pitch. That's where most teams have come right down at them. A couple of quick interplays, hands, through the middle, pull the six out, and away you go and get goals. They've only had one goal conceded up to Kerry, which was the Donegal game, and it was a goal again that went straight down the middle. And the idea is there is as people come down, they close the net on teams. And the defender is always defending from the inside out. So he's never getting pulled out. They don't really care if you win the ball 40, 50 yards out on the wing. They've learned that lesson. But what they're saying is if this ball comes in here into the middle, now we're going to look after it. I think you need to get him out of there. And I think you need to create the space. And ultimately what you need to do is obviously, as I said, attack that space and then look for balls to be flicked out and kicked from long range. If Mayo get their long range shooting going early, and they get their confidence up, I think they'll win it. But I think if they start to leak a few and the confidence starts to drain, and instead of taking that shot on, you know, you all of a sudden you do an extra hand pass, well, then I think they'll be in trouble.
That's an interesting point, Andy. And just on that, Tommy, because Mayo were clearly petrified of Dublin getting goals in the first half. They're sort of half happy, as Andy said. They were kind of letting them shoot. Obviously, it was basically true as well that Tyrone, again, they were just petrified of conceding goals against Kerry. So much of this game is presumably going to come down to long-term shooting, long-distance shooting, rather.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point, Johnny. And I think that we know for a fact that a lot of Mayo scores and their attacks come from that half-back line, as Anthony had mentioned. It comes from their midfielders, who are very attacking in terms of Matty Ruan and Conor Loftus. Like, Tommy Conroy stood up the last day. We saw the kind of coming of age of Tommy Conroy, but it didn't happen until the 68, 69 minute. And that was credit to Horan for leaving him on the pitch, I suppose, but also credit to Tommy Conroy for having the composure, the legs, the work done over the last year to be good enough in the last 15, 20 minutes to essentially win that game for Mayo. Conroy isn't a player to kick a ball from 45 yards, but Dermot O'Connor is. So they're going to need a couple of points from O'Connor. They're going to need a couple of points from Loftus. They're going to need Rowan, Keegan, Durkin tagging on points. And you're right, Mayo are going to need to figure out a way of scoring goals. So whether that's through a direct ball into Aidan O'Shea, as Anthony is saying, and I fully believe that Aidan O'Shea can have a big influence this weekend. You talk about fine margins. Three balls, long balls into him. Not the greatest of passes, but he's such a big man, he'll win them in the full forward line. Three long balls into him in the Dublin game. Two in the first half. One, the mark that he should have scored. Another one that he put wide that he should have scored. And then the second half, a brilliant long ball in that he caught in the end line. He was probably just in his own head. He either should have taken the mark or he should have gone around the man and buried it, but he pulled it out of play. On another day, Aidan O'Shea could have had 1-2 there, 3 points. So I think that's massive. There's one other big thing that I think could happen here. There was a bit of an argument about it on the football pod during the week. I do reckon Tyrone will pull a fast one or a tactical tweak. I think they'll make a change. I don't think that their setup against Kerry, horses for courses, was perfect. They were able to match up Kerry. They put specific men in specific jobs, like Conor Myler, like Kieran McGeary, like Frank Burns, Michael O'Neill, say, Conor McKenna. They all had different roles, and it was perfectly created to stop that Kerry team. They're going to have to change it up a wee bit to be able to exploit Mayo. And I think that could be up front and in midfield, where they might drop out one of the big lads, Kennedy and Kilpatrick. I'm quoting Andy Moran here. He reckons this might happen. And then maybe Andy was suggesting Matty Donnelly might come out and you might bring in a Darragh Canavan or a Mark Bradley. I actually think Conor McKenna could end up in midfield the next day and you could be bringing in one of those forwards. I don't know what you think, Anthony, but I think Tyrone are going to have to change it up a wee bit. I think there's actually a wee bit of pressure on Tyrone to actually, it's an unspoken pressure, I suppose, to actually change their system this weekend because it was so perfectly set to beat Kerry. I think they have to change it to beat Mayo.
Yeah, and just... So just before we finish up, psychologically, Joe Brawley wrote about this on Sunday, the difference in the reaction to the respective semi-final wins. And a few people have said this to me as well. I wanted to laud Mayo for the incredible coming back and beating Dublin after Colm O'Rourke saying basically we may as well go home at half time and winning, running away with it in extra time. And I thought they were more than due their celebration. Is there any suggestion at all that Tyrone are in a better mental place going into the final and that Mayo over-celebrated their semi-final, Andy, or is that too simplistic in terms of like underrating the achievement of actually being here and beating the Dubs?
I think to be honest with you, I think there's a semblance of that stuff, and I think the more and more you go, obviously every year, and the more that psychology comes into the game, and the more that people understand the game, even as players, and the old adage of, you know, sticking the newspaper article up on the wall, you know, I think it's absolute, you know, codswallop if you ask myself, because I think if you're not preferred, these are essentially professional athletes.
Exactly.
Now. Right, so you need to be in a place where if you are a type of an individual, and I'm not saying this, but if you're a type of an individual like Aidan O'Shea, who has no problem doing an interview and having people in his home, like that's water off a duck's back, Aidan. That's the type of personality he is, right? And now, does that make him a bad footballer or a good footballer? No, it doesn't, because
exactly.
He's doing football on the pitch. So whether I'm a journalist and I'm casting aspirations on that, I think is wrong, right? Because that's something that he's done. Yes, he's the captain of the team, but if he wants to do that, if he wants to get pictured with on the top of a Ferrari with 17 models, best of luck to him. But what it's all about the 70 minutes and what he's going to do on the pitch. If you want to stay at home in a log cabin chopping wood and someone thinking that you're a great grizzly bear and you know you don't talk to anyone and you're a dour individual, I'm not saying that, but if that's the picture you want to depict, well then that's who you are. That's fine. It's all about when you cross the white line. And for me, you know, whether Mayo wanted to celebrate, the Mayo people are different to the Tyrone people. The Mayo camp is different to the Tyrone camp. I'm not saying one is better than another. One maybe needs, Tyrone, I think, are have always wanted, and most teams like, you know, a kind of a motivation as regards everyone's against us. And to be fair to them, they're probably sitting there going, do you know what? Like, we've just after seen off Kerry, and people are still just talking about Mayo. And even us, we're talking about Mayo here a lot rather than Tyrone. So people are, they're probably up there saying, no one's giving us any credit. No one's still giving us credit. And no one will give us credit until we actually lift the Sam Maguire. So that's their motivation, I would feel, right? That's their psychological edge, and I think they'd be playing on that. I think for Mayo have to stop this. If I was down there, and I think James Horan is an unbelievably smart and a great manager, and from knowing James the little that I do, I think they would have to stop this safety net talk. You know, I've heard it during the week. Ah, well, Mayo, and sure, if we lose, we'll just get back up again and we'll go next year. That has to stop for me. If I was down there, I'd be saying enough of this. We're 10 years at this. Enough of this absolute crap. We're going out and we're going out to win this. I put the pressure on the players. Say, no, we're going out, lads, and we're not going to leave this pitch until we have Sam Maguire in the back of the bus or the front of the bus, and that's the end.
Okay, 17 models and 70 minutes. Beautiful. And 70 years as well. Very, very briefly. It's literally one word here. Who wins?
Oh, Jesus, stop. It's only Wednesday. I'm still flipping. I can't do that until at least Friday.
That's sitting on the fence. Tommy Rooney.
Johnny Weaver, prediction slot on a Friday morning, the GAA quick pick, so I'm going to save my shout till then.
I've had my one little moment in the sun here with the two lads and I'm not getting a prediction. Lads,
go on, what are you going for?
Mayo. I'm confident Mayo will win.
Okay.
In fact, I think people are like, God, if it were bad Max Day tipping us, if Johnny Ward is tipping us, we're really screwed, but hopefully that's not the case. Thanks, lads.
Cheers, Johnny.
Lee Carsley has been named, although I'm not sure.
He's not coming now, is he?
Well, that's the thing. Or Big Sam is the other one.
It's always Big Sam, isn't it?
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.